When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time for Overtime. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett with analysis, sound from the locker room, and your reaction to the game. When the clock hits zero, we bring you overtime. Take it away, boys.
Well, the clock hasn't quite hit zero just yet. There's 18 seconds on the clock in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium. The Niners offense is getting set to take the field, down six. No timeouts left. They need a miracle here, and we'll talk you through the final 18 seconds, but it is looking like the 49ers very well could lose without allowing a touchdown. Los Angeles Rams have four field goals for their 12 points. The Niners, 6 points through two field goals, and the Niners are in danger of dropping to 6-8. The kickoff happening as we speak. We'll let you know if anything crazy happens. But guys, welcome into overtime. It's Mark Randy with you. We'll hear from Sterling Bennett and Kyle Madsen in just a moment. Debo Samuel did take the kickoff out of the end zone and returned it out to the, I'm not sure how far he returned it, but there is a flag. We'll keep you updated on that. But guys, regardless of what happens here, just an absolutely rough effort from the 49ers offense. The defense was awesome. They hold the Rams to only 12 points, and the Niners need a miracle to win this game at home.
No, it's perfect. This is the perfect way to end this season. Like, they didn't need any more hope. They didn't deserve to be any good. They didn't deserve to be 7-7 and like, oh, hey, look, they're getting guys. I know, man. They were bad for most of this year, and they were the worst version of that bad tonight. Drops. I thought Brock Purdy was abominable. The offensive line wasn't great. You had penalty issues. It was just all the things that have plagued this team all year wrapped up into one. And I think my favorite part about it is that there's no reason to be like, oh, hey, maybe this just needs a little tweak. Like, no, whatever they're doing offensively needs a massive overhaul. This isn't working anymore. And whatever Shanahan was doing at the beginning of the game, trying to get Debo Samuel involved, dude, to hell with that. It's not working. That guy stinks. He's not good at football anymore. I don't understand why they're wasting drives early in this game when your defense is cooking, by the way. I don't understand why they're wasting time trying to get Debo Samuel the ball because he did a tweet. I don't know about you guys. That doesn't make sense to me. That I every time they started to hand him the ball, it was this is going nowhere. This is a waste of time. You're wasting this play. You're not going to get to second and short or third and short by doing this. First, third and six of the game, and you hand it off to the guy who's averaging 0.6 yards a carry? Ludicrous, dude. They deserve to lose this game. I'm happy they lost this game, and I hope that they undergo the necessary soul searching this offseason to figure out whatever the hell is wrong with them.
Yeah, Sterling, I'll hand this off to you in just a sec, but the Niners do get the ball at midfield after a decent Debo Samuel kickoff return and then a horse collar tackle. They have 11 seconds to work with after an incompletion for Brock Purdy, but it is second. It'll be second and down after that, but from the 50-yard line. But overall, Sterling, even if there was something that crazy that happens here down the stretch, this was a bad effort all the way around for the 49ers on the offensive side of the football.
So we're just crossing off the idea of a Brock Purdy 50-yard Hail Mary for a touchdown? Hey, if Jaden Daniels can do it, no, I'm just kidding. But no, you guys are right. It's a last-place team, and in the biggest game of the year, where you have a smidge of a chance to come back and maybe make the playoffs, the offense puts together a last-place effort. 6 points? 6 points!
Yeah, against a defense that just gave up 42 points last week.
Brock's throwing unnecessary bad interceptions. He's missing high. He's missing low. Oh, and I get it. It's raining. You want to pay that guy $65 million a year? Okay, Brock's a pretty good quarterback, but he ain't a great quarterback right now. And again, the biggest game of the year, the most clutch you have to be, where you have to make the right throws in the one drive where you're finally putting something together. You hit Pearsall. You hit Kittle. Grando's running well. You're cooking. Okay, here is where the Niners offense is going to show up. What happens? They lay a turd on Thursday Night Football with the season on the line.
Oof.
Brock was terrible. Debo was terrible. You want to make tweets? How dare you? How dare you ask for the football more when every time you touch it, 3 yards, 2 yards, 1 yard, you get called for a holding. You drop arguably a touchdown that would have been the difference in this football game. You want to talk about being clutch, being wide receiver number one. You're the wide back. Hey, Kyle, feed me more. I don't want to feed you at all, brother. You don't deserve the football. You don't deserve to tweet it out. Take his phone away. Make him sit on the bench the rest of the year if you're going to put that performance together in the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, it's official, by the way. Brock Purdy on 2nd and 10 after a deep incompletion to Ricky Pearsall was sacked. The clock runs out. Niners have no timeouts because they needed them to get the defense off the field. And the final score in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium, the Rams 12, the 49ers 6. The Niners are 6-8. The Rams are 8-6. Niners postseason chances are not 100% gone, but for all intents and purposes, this season is over for the San Francisco 49ers. Welcome to Overtime. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. We're here for you all night long. Give us a call. Shoot us a text on the Comcast Business text line. 888-957-9570. The Niners led this game for decent chunks. They scored first. They took a lead early in the third quarter. The Rams, though, finished with 3 field goals. They scored the final 9 points of this football game. No touchdowns in this game, but the Rams got it done when they needed to, and it puts a damper on what was a fun day to begin because Dre Greenlaw came back. Nick Bosa returned. Talanoa Hufanga was playing great in the first half. Guys, there was also no surprise that when this Rams offense looked the best, it was when, unfortunately, Dre Greenlaw had to sit on the bench for the majority of the second half. The second he goes out, the Rams are able to put together scoring drives, and they did 3 of them in the second half, all without Dre Greenlaw on the field, at least in the tail end of that first scoring drive. The 17-play, 65-yard drive that took nearly 10 minutes off the clock. Greenlaw looked awesome in the first half, but he could not finish in the second half. The Rams take advantage, and they basically end the Niners season with a 12-6 win.
191 total yards of offense at home. In a game where you're facing one of the worst defenses in football, in a game where your defense holds the opponent to 0-for-3 in the red zone, 4-of-15 on third down the Rams were, and the 49ers offense, the brilliance that is the 49ers offense, the cutting edge that you can't stop it. Look at them go. They just get downhill and they run. And oh, man, you get 6 points. So if you told me you put up this defensive performance against the Rams, I'd have been like, man, another 49ers get right game. They just might do this thing. And they scored 6 points, dude. I'm sorry. I'm ready to scrap everything offensively right now. I know I'm being emotional and it's knee-jerk reactions and stuff, but I don't know who or what they need to change this offseason, especially offensively. But it's back to the drawing board for Kyle Shanahan, man. And if anybody's calling in saying, like, you got to fire this guy, it's really hard to push back on that after they did this in the biggest game of the year against one of the worst defenses in the league. I don't have any answers. They were atrocious. And when you start spinning this forward and you start looking at the quarterback, where are you guys? I'm not giving Brock Purdy any contract this offseason. Whoa. I don't, like, no, you don't, no, well, he's going to take $30 million a year. Yeah, here, go ahead. Yeah, you can have that. But what has he done to prove that he can be anything more than an average-ass quarterback when he doesn't have Deebo Samuel playing at elite level, when he doesn't have Brandon Ayuk playing like an All-Pro, when he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey playing like the Offensive Player of the Year, when he doesn't have George Kittle playing like a first-team All-Pro, when he doesn't have Trent Williams as a first-team All-Pro? What is he's proven that in a more... And the environment that the 49ers offense is for a quarterback right now is way more normal. They're not a bad offense. They're not a bad group of players, but they're a pretty normal group of players. And Brock Purdy looks astonishingly average. And tonight, frankly, far below that.
I can't justify
giving him paying him.
Maybe not $65 million. And I think maybe I'm with you, Kyle, in regards to saying, okay, I got to see more. Like, mm-hmm. You've proven you can be great when everything's right. You've proven at times you can be great when things aren't just right. But over the course of the season without Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams, like you said, no Brandon Ayuk, you can't find Ricky Pearsall twice in a game. You can't feed George Kittle more than about four or five times tonight. Deebo Samuel, mm-hmm. again, we already talked about him, how bad he was. But when you talk about Brock Purdy specifically, I am leaning more towards letting him play out his contract or franchise tagging him after next year, because I got to see more. Now, I'm not out on Brock. I'm not saying he can't be that guy, but when you talk about potentially giving a player the largest contract in NFL history, you got to know that guy can pick you up when nothing is going right. When in a year like this, Murphy's Law, everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong. That guy's going to save your season. And unfortunately, Brock, maybe outside of Deebo Samuel, looked like the worst player on the field tonight. And we've never said that before. But when that's the quarterback of your team in the biggest game of the year, that's the last thing you want to say when you're looking at the offseason being like, hey, $65 million, ring the bell, here we come. I'm not too sure anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely not a record-breaking contract coming up for Brock Purdy this offseason. That seems pretty clear. I don't know if the 49ers want to get into a staring match with potentially the guy they still view as their franchise quarterback and say, play your last year out, and then we'll franchise tag you, and then he might refuse to play. That seems to be a little bit messy, but I agree 100% that he's not getting a record-breaking contract. The question is, where do these two teams settle? And it's going to be an interesting conversation to have in this entire offseason, because you guys are right. Brock was not good today, not at all. 14 for 31, 142, no touchdowns and one interception, and the one interception basically ended the game, because you know, at that point, your defense is already tired. It's a short week. You're without Dre Greenlaw, who could not play for the majority of the second half. You needed to score points, at least to tie the game on that last offensive drive, and you were moving the ball well. For some reason, Brock Purdy, instead of taking the check down, as you had been doing for the majority of that drive, check it down. He had Pearsall open over the middle. He had Garendo open over the middle. He decided to take a deep shot. I don't know if there was miscommunication between him and Juwan Jennings down the right sideline. Juwan was nowhere near where the ball went. Maybe it was just an absolute terrible throw by Brock. Maybe it was miscommunication. I'm not so sure. We will wait to hear what he had to say post-game. But that's just a back-breaking mistake that, simply put, you cannot have on a team like the Niners, who are facing an uphill climb at this point of the season. You cannot turn the ball over in that moment. This was an offense that scored 38 points last week against a Bears defense that, not a good defense by any stretch, but neither are the Rams. Not a very good defense either. This was a team that you should have been able to put points on. And there's blame to go around elsewhere. You guys talked about Deebo already. Totally fair. You talked about Kyle Shanahan already. Totally fair as well. But Brock Purdy deserves to shoulder a lion's worth of the blame, because when you're the quarterback, that's just how it goes. Brock Purdy, flat out, plain and simple, was very, very bad today. There's no way around it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth with the Stink of Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink of Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man. And there were the thing that the worst part about it is the throw, like the throws were there to be made. He just missed some of them and missed them bad in some cases. And that's why, to me, one bad throw, two bad throws, yeah, you're going to miss a deep shot here and there. But it was like anything over 15 yards down the field was just no dice. It's underthrown, it's behind the receiver, and you can't... That's where I have a problem. Like, quarterbacks are going to have bad games. It's whatever. But in a game like this where, hey, you know what? Number 13, this is on you. You got to make a play. You got to make a throw. George Kittle's open deep. Deebo Samuel, the deeper throw down the middle to Deebo Samuel, like, that was there. If he gets it out in front a little bit, it's there. But it was behind him and underthrown.
The Pearsall throw down the middle before the Juwan interception, that's a touchdown if you lead him perfectly. Yep. Pearsall had him beat. And I saw this stat. Let me find it here. The Niners did not get the ball back again, so this stat is still accurate. Brock Purdy tonight on throws 20-plus yards downfield, 0-for-7, one interception. Did not complete a single pass 20 or more yards down the field. That's what the Niners offense has become at times this year.
And that's what I don't get. Like, on all those deep shots, it's like there's throws available over the middle, man. There's shorter throws to take. You don't have to get all of this at once. And it's like, for some reason, that's what the Niners offense devolved into this year. And I don't quite understand it. For me, that's the number one thing. Like, if I'm picking things that I would like to see change over the offseason, the number one thing for me would be getting back to the layups for the quarterback. Getting back to those easy throws. Getting back to not needing to push everything down the field. And maybe that's a little bit on Purdy and his mindset. But he and Shanahan have to get on the same page, because I don't think they can survive if their offensive success is going to ride on Brock Purdy completing deep throws, particularly in the rain. That can't be the case again next year for me.
Well, San Francisco's offense has turned into a 3-2 outcome. It's either a home run play, which is rare. It's a strikeout, which is more common than not. And then maybe it's like a little dink and dunk here that gets you...
Yeah. A little walk.
Maybe a field goal when it's all said and done, because you can't score in the red zone. So, you know, it's in this game in particular comes down to three throws, in my opinion. The Deebo Samuel slant over the middle that Deebo Samuel drops. Just Purdy's interception late when you could have got a field goal to give you a lead, maybe, which maybe you win the game, maybe you don't, but it still changes the entire trajectory of the game at that point in time. Then Matthew Stafford's 51-yard throw to Puka Nacua.
Whoa.
Dang. Those are the three throws of the game where you're like, wow, it took literally three throws. One home run by a quarterback to a wide open receiver downfield, and a quarterback in Brock Purdy that couldn't lead guys open when they were there. Multiple times. George Kittle. I know Juwan Jennings had a few drops, but the Pearsall play was just like, dude, that's a throw we've seen other quarterbacks in this system make a lot of the times.
Well, we've seen Brock make it.
Right, but the quarterback that wasn't here tonight that played on the other sideline was making those throws, and he wasn't great at them either. But in games like this, they had more than 13 points, and they win you this football game. And I get it, there's personnel differences and whatnot, but my goodness, like Brock Purdy put on a performance that makes you say, what about Sam Darnold? He's having a great year. Like, I'm not saying pick him up, but just like, hey, Darnold's playing great. And I don't even like Sam Darnold that much. I was like, yikes, when he got signed last year. But you got me thinking weird things because, like, what is happening? You're 6-8, and the offense can't move the football. And when you do move the football, the quarterback makes back-breaking, season-ending type plays that you're like, everyone knows that's the wrong decision to make, and you're still doing it. I guarantee you ask Brock, he'll say, hey, it's a bad choice. You ask Kyle, hey, it's a bad choice. Like, Juwan Jennings has three Rams all over him. He's not even open. If he was open and it was an underthrow, your arm ain't great, whatever. Not even open. Like, what do you see? Because, oh my goodness, he may need LASIK. Give him Jameis Winston's LASIK. He might need it. He's not even open.
Yeah, well, okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second. And first of all, there's no denying that the interception at the end of the game was not a good decision. Like, no one in their right mind can argue otherwise. Bad decision, terrible moment, and the worst possible moment to have that decision and that interception. But can we for a second also talk about Brock Purdy being down to his second string left tackle, his third string left guard, his fourth string running back? He has a wide receiver in Deebo Samuel, who for some reason Kyle Shanahan seems insistent on getting him touches, even though every touch is a disaster, who also can't catch the ball over the middle on what might have been a touchdown that might have turned this game around. You know, the best target, George Kittle, doesn't get targeted as often as we feel like he should. Seven targets today, second most on the team behind Juwan. Deebo, though, also had seven targets. Kittle turned those seven targets into four catches. My point, as I play devil's advocate, not that I necessarily disagree with you guys, but this is also an offense that is down so many key guys, and Brock Purdy, the quarterback, obviously you love him to be able to elevate everyone around him, but it's not as if this is an extremely talented group of offensive players that he is surrounded by right now.
Okay, I'm going to push back on three things. I'm going to push back on everything you just said.
Everything you said.
So Aaron Banks started tonight at left guard. So he had his starting left guard. It is a backup left tackle. We've established that.
Who's played pretty well, mind you.
Yeah, I didn't think they were particularly bad. Kyle Shanahan's not there's some designed throws to Deebo, but Kyle Shanahan's not the one throwing the ball to Deebo Samuel. That's on Brock. Seven targets, I think like three of those were designed. So that's on Brock. And like I said earlier, what the 49ers have talent-wise right now is pretty commensurate with like league average. Most teams would take George Kittle and Juwan Jennings and a first-round pick and Ricky Pearsall. And Isaac Grand is their third-string running back, who they traded two picks to move up into the fourth round for, who had a great game last week. So I get that this is not the elite team that they had last year, but there's plenty. If they were just not open all game and it's like, man, you know what? Brock's got nowhere to go and he just got sacked a bunch of times and he's running around. Okay, that's one thing. But like the throws were there and the Deebo drop was back, just brutal. Like you guys said, game-changing play. But on the other hand, that's one drop. Purdy was terrible the rest of the way. And does that drop change the game? Like, yeah, 100%. But that's where if you're gonna make this guy your franchise quarterback and he's gonna be the rising tide that lifts all boats, the tide never came. It never. You cannot have a margin for error that's so small that one drop is like, well, what do you want him to do? The guy dropped a touchdown. Like, okay, I want him to make another damn throw. That's not too much to ask. Is that crazy? I don't think that's crazy.
And that throw didn't come on the last play of the game. He had almost an entire half to play.
Thank you.
And win the game still. And look, I don't think I'm like jumping off the ship. Like, I'm out on Brock Purdy. It's just what he's done this year. There's been really high highs against the Bears last week. Looked phenomenal against a middling defense that fired their head coach that was calling defensive plays, but still looked really good. Earlier in the season, there were plays he was making. You're like, wow, that's not Brock's fault. Ronnie Bell dropped the football. The defense was terrible. Special teams cost him. special teams had all the points tonight because the offense couldn't get in the end zone, and the defense was the best they had been all year in the biggest game of the season. And again, yeah, Deebo Samuel drops a pass. Juwan Jennings has a few drops here or there. The running game wasn't working for about a half of or so. But when you're going to give someone that contract, when you're going to literally put your funds in one boat and say, hey, carry us, and have to either cut Javon Hargrave or Deebo Samuel, which really isn't a bad idea at this point, like, you're going to have to make massive changes to your roster to accommodate Brock Purdy. Well, in a game like this, you shouldn't have to ask others to accommodate for your quarterback. And that's what happened tonight. And they tried their darndest. Outside of Deebo Samuel, Kittle was fine. Grendel was fine. Pearsall was open. The offensive line wasn't great, but it was good enough. They had drives, and they were in position to score multiple times. And while Brock Purdy wasn't the only reason they lost tonight, you can almost say he was the biggest reason they lost tonight. And if that's your quarterback, that's who you're going to pay and sell to the franchise, that team, and the fan base, when everything's not perfect, that's still our guy. They're going to give you 5 years of $65 million a year. You talk about windows being open or closed or not. That window is certainly kind of going back and forth like, oh, it's open. No, it's closed. It's open. No, it's closed. I don't know what to make of Brock Purdy at this point. And I hate saying that. I love this kid. He's been awesome the last 2 years. But this year's not been Brock Purdy. And I'm not sure exactly who he is at this point in his career.
Yeah, and you talk about windows. One of the quickest ways to close your window, to slam your window shut and make it very difficult to ever open it again for at least a few years, it is to pay a quarterback who might not actually be very good an absurd amount of money. It has happened across the NFL so often of late. So that's why this decision coming up this offseason is so important for the Niners. Okay, let's sneak in a call before we take a quick break here on Overtime. We got so much more time with you. 888-957-9570. We're just getting started as we try to pick apart another disastrous loss for the 49ers. 12-6, the final score in favor of the Rams. The Niners now 6-8 in their playoff chances, like around 1%. Like, it is as unlikely as it possibly can be without officially being eliminated. Let's go out to the phone lines. Manny is hanging out in Union City. Manny, what's up? You're on Overtime. It's Mark, Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. How you doing, Manny?
I am not doing good at all, having watched that game. To be honest with you, after that interception, I shut it down. I mean, I went back in to peek to see what was going on, but I knew the writing was on the wall, fellas. After that interception, it was a pretty much done deal. The one thing with Brock Purdy, I was telling the guy that screened the call, I'm glad he's a 49er. He represents that 49er spirit from back in the golden era, your days of the 1800s or whenever the gold rush took place. Because you know what, guys? He symbolizes it. And here's why. When everybody ran out west to try to get themselves that gold, they fell for fool's gold. And when Brock Purdy came out against the Dolphins in the last couple of years, it's starting to show me that it's just fool's gold. All right? We just got to look at it for what it is. I mean, we're making excuses all the time. And I don't blame them. I mean, we gotta grasp at something as to what happened this season. But it just falls to this. I mean, you guys said it. You know, can you fault the man for having the game that he played today because he was down to his third string, fourth string guys? Last I checked, these were the same guys that won big against the Bears like 3 days ago. What's the difference? And you're at home in the biggest game of your season, and this is all you got to show for it? I mean, Deebo, he does more tweeting and more whining than he does producing on the field. With Tio and his antics?
Yeah, go ahead, Manny.
Tio backed it up on the field. Right? Tio could say all he wanted to say. He backed it up on the field. Deebo runs his mouth and nothing comes out of it. Honestly, I'm sick and tired of this guy, man. Blow this team up. Get rid of Deebo. Do not waste a franchise tag on Purdy. I'm begging you, 49ers, man. You guys, you know what Brock Purdy is? NFL fans, the name Matt Castle ring a bell? He had a Pro Bowl season and tanked. I'm very, very skeptical now of Brock Purdy. I mean, what more could we have asked for a patchwork defense to to hold Puka. And
yeah, Manny, the defense was awesome in this game, and they absolutely deserve to win this football game. They played awesome, especially in the first half. Dre Greenlaw was the Niners' best player in the first half. It didn't seem like he is coming off of an Achilles injury. We will get an update from Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure. He was working on his calf. Dre Greenlaw was on the sideline and did not play for the majority of the second half. We will update everybody on that when we know. Manny, your Brock Purdy comment about not wasting a franchise tag on him, that doesn't even have to happen this offseason. The Niners do not have to do anything this offseason with Brock Purdy. They could force him to play on his deal, and then they could franchise tag him a year and a half from now. We do got to hit a quick break, but I know Sterling wants to tag something here. What do you got, Sterling?
One of two things. Kyle Shanahan said linebacker Dre Greenlaw didn't play later in the game because of fatigue and soreness, while Devondre Campbell, who had started the entire year for Dre Greenlaw, refused to come in the third quarter.
He refused to come in.
Refused to play with the game on the line.
Good. Get him off my team. Good. Goodbye.
Wow.
Good
wow.
Night.
Okay.
Night. And on Devondre that note, Campbell.
On
see
that
ya.
Note, we will take
playoffs
a quick
over,
break.
Campbell over. We're out of here.
When we come back, we got plenty more to get into, including Devondre Campbell quitting on the Niners in a game where you had to win at home on Thursday Night Football. Dre Greenlaw looks like he avoided something more serious. That is good news there, but there's so much more to get into, plus your calls and your texts, 888-957-9570. The Niners fall at home on Thursday Night Football, their season all but over. It's overtime with Mark Reedy, Kyle Matz, and Sterling Bennett. More next on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Welcome back, Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. That highlight you just heard courtesy of Al Michaels on Amazon Prime. If you were in the Bay Area, you might have watched it on your local Fox affiliate. It was not a good moment. That was the Deebo Samuel drop on 3rd and 10. That certainly was going to be a first down. It might have gone for a touchdown. At the very least, it would have put the 49ers in position to score up to that point. The game's first touchdown. A touchdown would have made it a 10-3 Niners lead, and who knows how the game would have turned. Ultimately, it resulted in a Niners field goal. That made it 6-3 Niners about halfway through the third quarter. Then the Rams immediately go on a 17-play, 65-yard drive that takes nearly 10 minutes off the clock. They get a field goal to tie it. They then go 60 yards in 3 minutes, a field goal to take the lead. And then off the Brock Purdy interception in the end zone, they go down the field 70 yards, and they kick an extra field goal to go up by 6 in the game's final moments. The Niners can't put together a Hail Mary drive, and the game is over. 12-6 is the final score, and now we got word, as Sterling Bennett told us just before the break, Devondre Campbell told the team he doesn't want to play anymore, and that's why, once Dre Greenlaw was unable to go in the second half, that they had to throw out Demetrius Flanagan Foles because their starting linebacker for the whole season refused to play.
My dog took a little PTO. Who doesn't? That's crazy. They said, get in the game. He said, no, thanks. I'm not playing today. That's
nuts. He went to the locker room. He went inside. He said, the rain too much for me, brother. I'm going back inside where it's dry and warm.
Like my
what is happening?
You put on your uniform. You went through the rigmarole of putting on pads and warming up.
If you're not going to play, just pull on Antonio Brown. Take it off on the field and walk away.
Right. Make a scene. Make it funny.
Yeah.
Dude, it's not like, well, and it's not like they asked him to come in with 10 seconds left and said, hey, get on the field for this last night. It's like the third quarter. You're going to have a whole half a game to play.
Game's tied.
Is quitting, I have a question for you guys. Is quitting on the 49ers the best thing Devondre Campbell did all season?
And it wasn't even quiet quitting. It was like, hey, I'm not playing tonight. Like, all right.
He loudly quit.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I'm going to announce I'm quitting to the entire coaching staff. But, like, here's the thing. Okay, I get it. You're upset. Dre Greenlaw took your spot. What did you think was going to happen when he came back? You were literally signed to be the placeholder for Dre Greenlaw.
Right. So, what'd you think?
Like, so Greenlaw comes back. They say, hey, Campbell, you've been okay the last couple weeks. Thank you for your 13 games of service. Sit this one out. We'll call you when we need you. You never know. And lo and behold, Greenlaw's like, hey, my calf's acting up. I'm tired. Great. You have to expect Greenlaw's going to be on somewhat of a pitch count. Well, look what happens. Fred Warner's playing on a broken foot. You got a foot sprain from Grendel in the backfield. Bosa has the oblique and the hip injury. Campbell's like, hey, your second choice to replace Dre Greenlaw, I'm not going to play.
He said, like, hey, my feelings hurt.
This is a backup to a backup, a guy that ended his time in Green Bay dysfunctional and was like, I'm rubbed the wrong way with how they treated me. And you want to leave your tenure at San Francisco trying to alter your career and revamp your image in a way like this? He's getting cut tomorrow, right? Like, see ya. Good night.
Hey, Matt Barrows just tweeted this quote from Treverius Ward in the locker room. Quote, he's probably going to get cut.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Oh, this is perfect. This is perfect.
Dude, get that scrub and quitter off this team.
Well, so what probably happened here is because Ian Rappaport reported this morning when he first reported that Dre Greenlaw was coming back, said he was going to be eased in. I'm wondering if it was portrayed like he might start, but then he'd play like a Sam linebacker role the rest of the game, and Devondre Campbell would come in and play. But then Greenlaw was awesome.
Yep.
Like, you see why the 49ers missed him so bad, missed his athleticism in the second level. He was just so good.
Best player on the field in the first half.
Yeah, I think, I would agree. And but why you're not going to take him off the field just for the sake of a pitch count. And so he got a little tired and a little sore during the first half and didn't play the second half. I just, get Devondre Campbell out of my face, bro. What a loser. What an absolute loser.
We're going to hear from Kyle Shanahan, and we'll hear exactly what he said about Devondre Campbell. But correct me if I'm wrong, Campbell essentially approached the Niners pregame and said, I'm not playing today if you're going to start Dre Greenlaw over me. And then when he was asked to come in for him in the second half, that's when he refused and left the field, is how I understand it. So he didn't even want to. He made it known pregame. And then when the Niners asked him to come in, he said, no, thanks. See ya.
What mindset
Bye-bye.
Is that, though? Like, you knew exactly what your role was
yep.
when you signed here. And to have the audacity to refuse to play in the biggest game of the season, when if Dre Greenlaw's injury is serious, you're going to start against the Dolphins next week. You're the next guy up. Like, I'm not saying that Dre Greenlaw being injured is why they lost this game. The offense carries most of that blame tonight. But my goodness. Like, of all the players, that would be like Ambry Thomas refusing to play last year. Like, what are you doing? Like, you need this more than they need you, brother. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I would not be shocked if he doesn't play one more snap in the league ever again. I would not be shocked. He's over the hump. He's past his prime. He's in his early 30s. He's not a great pass coverage player. Like, this could be the last you ever hear of Devondre Campbell outside of tomorrow on this very radio station when every single host rips him for the next 12 hours. Like,
I can't wait to hear Shasky and Bonta.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be great.
We're, it's almost 9 o'clock, so that means we're 9 hours away from the morning roast at 6
Buckle
in the morning.
Buckle up, folks.
So
let's go.
We might take you close to 6 a.m. in the morning. We're going to be here for a long time.
You guys might go till close to 6 a.m.
Yeah. I will scream on the mic until Bonta and Chasky walk in the studio.
We'll keep the seats warm for you guys.
It's time for the pregame show now. Let's go, boys.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question. Is this just like a... Is this just a one-dude thing? Is this just Devondre Campbell not being a good dude, not being a team player? Or is this systemic of something larger? Is this Kyle Shanahan beginning to lose the locker room? I know that that's a phrase that gets thrown around all the time, and there is very little to suggest that Kyle Shanahan is losing favor in the locker room. This is a pretty big deal, though. A player who has started all season refusing to play, this is just a one-guy thing, though, right?
It has to be. I think this is more indicative of Devondre Campbell as a person and as a player than Kyle Shanahan's hold on the locker room. If now, if this was Dre Greenlaw or Fred Warner or Nick Bosa, then I think there would be a very real problem here. But Devondre Campbell wasn't in this team's plans for beyond Dre Greenlaw's absence.
Wasn't even their first choice linebacker to sign this offseason.
Right. So yeah. Toodles, bro.
Michael Kendricks. What could have been? He wouldn't have quit, tell you that one.
Hey, I'll tell you, he stinks too. He's not even playing for the Cowboys anymore.
You're right.
All right. So a terrible, terrible loss for the Niners, and it gets even worse because one player that they turned to when Dre Greenlaw could not go in the second half refused to take the field.
He wasn't even good.
He was
like, if he was playing great and got benched, I get it. But, dude, your PFF grades are like 10. You're not good.
Dude, he's not an effective NFL player.
It's also Dre Greenlaw. Like, there's no doubt that when Dre Greenlaw is healthy, he's playing over everybody not named Fred Warner on this team.
It's not Tatum Bethune they're throwing in there in front of you, bro. Come on, man.
This is just ridiculous. That's what the Niners season has come to. They're now 6-8. They lose at home to the Rams,
12-6.
And
the season can't end fast enough.
And boy, it's over. I'll tell you
it's
what.
It's over now, brother.
It's over.
0.1% to go to the playoffs. This is it.
All
Michael
right.
Jackson, this is it, man. It's a curtain call.
Yeah, this might have been the end of the Niners season. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. We got so many of you guys lined up.
I hope it's Devondre.
957-9570. Yeah, Devondre, he's probably already gone from Levi. So you're driving home.
Maybe he's not busy.
Driving to the
airport.
He's
screaming into the phone, keep my name out your mouth.
Give us a call, Devondre. We'll get you on
I'm not Chris Rock, brother. I dare you.
We'll let you jump everybody in line. Just call, and we'll get you on ASAP. But while we wait for Devondre, let's go out to Nicholas, who's in Anaheim. Nicholas, what's up? You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game. It's Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling with you. How you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
We're trying to laugh at this situation, Nicholas.
I was going to talk about the offense, but you know, Devondre Campbell saying that? Geez, that's ridiculous. I mean, you got to be a team player. And Dre Greenlaw, that's a guy I'd go to war with. And the fact that you couldn't say, oh, well, he's on a pitch count, and you end up having, like, refuse to play. I'm sorry, but yeah, I hope I can't see him another year. I better see that guy cut. Like Devondre Campbell, he can go. But also, I was going to say, on the this was not on the defense. This game?
No.
Offense. Like basically, like there were several plays when I only caught the second half watching it live on my TV since I was commuting home. But like watching Purdy miss some easy throws and Debo complaining about, you know, wanting the ball and you couldn't do it. It was ridiculous. It was just basically almost a microcosm of the season, basically.
Yeah, Nicholas, you're right. I mean, and you saw just the second half as you were getting home from work. I mean, the first half, it wasn't that pretty either. I mean, the Niners defense in the first half, they were good in the second half, but they were amazing in the first half. But it was ugly offensively as well, Kyle. The one of the first words out of your mouth when we took the air was, why the hell were you giving Debo the ball on 3rd and 6 on that first drive?
Ludicrous, dude.
When you weren't then going to go for it on 4th and 4 or 4th and whatever, and then you kick a 53-yard field goal, which Jake Moody made in credit to him, but made no... I texted you guys in the thread the second after the field goal was kicked. I said, you know what? I am an idiot because I thought that a Debo Samuel run on 3rd and 6 guaranteed that you were going to go for it on 4th and 4 or whatever it was. And they brought out the kicking unit. Moody made the kick, whatever. But I just cannot wrap my head around, one, a Debo run on 3rd and 6 if you are not going to go for it on 4th down. It made no sense.
Especially when if this was 2021 and they tried that, like, all right. You know, good. That's a good effort. That play is not working this year. Debo in the backfield on any kind of run, outside, inside, doesn't matter, isn't working. So to your point, Mark, that was what that signaled to me. Okay, they're going to try and get a couple of yards here and go for it on 4th. But no, they ran that play to try and gain the 6 yards. I don't understand it. I understand what Debo means to the 49ers and has meant to the 49ers since 2019. He was awesome. Go back to the Super Bowl. He was awesome in the Super Bowl in 2019 as a rookie. And we've seen with the 49ers how hard it is for rookies to break out as quickly as Debo did. And the impact that he had on their run in 2019 and 2021 and 2022 and 2023 cannot be understated. It's over. And placating Debo Samuel because he did a tweet and was mad that he's not getting the ball, even though he's getting the ball about as often as he was last year, but that's a different point. So you're going to placate Deebo Samuel instead of trying to do every single thing you can to win this game? I don't understand that. I don't understand that one bit. I'm usually like all in on the, hey, Kyle Shanahan's great. I think Kyle Shanahan had a bad game in the biggest moment of the year. And Brock Purdy wasn't good. We've talked about that. Deebo was bad again and has been. I think he's been fewer than 22 yards in each of the last four games, fewer than 22 yards receiving. And the rushing numbers are even worse. So it that has gone so far past its use. And the fact they kept leaning on Deebo tonight, especially early in the game, for what? That's for him. You're doing that because you felt like you owed him. And I think that's embarrassing. That's he can't, that if that's what it's going to be, then he can't be on this team anymore. That's just the bottom line.
Kyle Shanahan went out of his way to protect Deebo Samuel's ego tonight, and that's never been what Shanahan's been about since 2017. If you weren't a team player, get out. Devondre Campbell, not a team player, going to be cut tomorrow. I'm not saying cut Deebo, although we're pretty angry at him for how bad he played all year and how bad he was in this football game. I didn't mind the third down run, but it's just the over-reliance on Deebo. Oh, we have to get Deebo going. No, you don't have to get Deebo going at all. In fact, the offense has been better when he doesn't touch the football. He has been a waste of a touch all year. And I get it. Former All-Pro. He used to be able to carry the team. He used to make big plays. I'm sorry. The word used to carries a lot of weight in that statement. He's over the hump. He's past his prime, and he's been a great player for a long time in San Francisco. Done a lot of great things, a lot of highlight plays, carried the offense an entire season when they didn't have a running game, when the quarterback was limited. Like, thank you, Deebo Samuel, for your service. We appreciate you. You are one of the greatest receivers in Niners history. That said, if you're going to make a win about yourself, oh, ain't my fault, I'm not getting touches. When you lead this team in touches now after this football game, and you walked into it with 72 on the year, the second most behind Jordan Mason, only to put up one of your worst performances of the season and drop the biggest pass of the football game outside of the Juwan Jennings throw in the red zone that Purdy threw an interception on. Like, this game would have been entirely different had Deebo Samuel come to play. And guess what? If you're going to whine and complain on social media and make a win about yourself, he deserves every boo, every jeer. And honestly, I would, like, if it was me and I was a petty Kyle Shanahan, I'd walk up to him and say, here's your pacifier if you want to be a baby. Stop crying. Start playing for once. We need you tonight. And you didn't show up. At this point in time, season's over with. You're an all-pro. Play like one.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel, 7 targets, 3 catches for 16 yards. He was targeted on the first play of the game. It was decent defense by Akella Witherspoon, by the way. So odd to see Akella Witherspoon playing actually decent defense. Of course, it happens to be against the 49ers. He also had the drop that you guys are talking about on the 3rd and 10 in the second half. He had 2 carries for 3 yards. So if we're talking about opportunities, 9 total opportunities, 5 total touches, and they go for 19 total yards. He also ran into Isaac Arendo in the backfield, and he also committed a false start. It was the worst day of Deebo Samuel's career at the office, and when it comes on the backdrop of what he did on Twitter after the win last week leading up to this week, it leaves a terrible taste in your mouth. And it's just so odd, guys, to go from how beloved Deebo was, and we will always have a soft spot for Deebo and what he did in 2021 and how he helped this Niner team get to 2 Super Bowls. Deebo Samuel will forever be one of the more unique weapons in Niner history. He was getting booed off the field tonight at Levi's Stadium. That's incredible to consider how quickly the fan base has turned on Deebo Samuel. He was getting booed off the field.
But Mark, he asked for it.
He did. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it, but it's crazy how quickly it changed.
If first of all, I want to go back to the very first thing you said. What was the first play of the game?
A throw to Deebo Samuel. A slant to Deebo Samuel.
And who was in coverage?
Akello Witherspoon.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel was getting dogged by Akello Witherspoon. That's what we're doing now? That's where we're at? Like, come on, man. You saw Juwan Jennings later in the game. Akello held him and still got beat by 4 yards for a first down. Like, that's not a good player. And Samuel's getting punked by him? No, that's not how that used to go. Debo on a slant used to be money. No matter what. No matter who was covering, no matter... The Niners could get that, and that was 8 yards plus cash every time. And now he's getting defended by Akello freaking Witherspoon, who doesn't even start for the worst defense in football? What? Like, this is where it's at, man. And to what you were saying, Mark, I don't think if Debo had not done that tweet, or if Debo had done a tweet and been like, hey, y'all are right, struggling this year, I'm going to bounce back, I got you, or whatever. He has a rough game. We're going, yeah, hey, you know what? That Debo drop was tough, but Brock Purdy's probably the focus tonight. But Debo Samuel, by insisting he's not struggling when everybody can see that he is, it's not even the numbers. You can watch him play. It's not the same guy. Yeah. When was the last time you saw Debo Samuel break a tackle?
Yeah.
It's been forever.
It has. So, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so he comes out and goes, I'm just not getting the ball. Like, man, what? Okay, fine, here's the ball. And look, you're doing the same things you've been doing. Like, I don't understand it, man. I get he probably sees the most vile things said to him that go beyond the realm of football, and he felt the need to respond. But, man, that was not a good look. It didn't do anything to help him. And I just can't imagine a scenario where he's back with the 49ers and an effective player ever again.
Yeah, we'll see. We got more to say on Debo Samuel. Also, I see some callers, Fozzie, Roshan, who I know want to talk about Debo. We'll get to you, but we do have this fresh sound from Kyle Shanahan. We talked about the Devondre Campbell situation. Let's take a listen to exactly what Kyle Shanahan said just moments ago down in Santa Clara as it relates to Niners linebacker Devondre Campbell. Here is Kyle Shanahan.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he didn't, said he didn't want to play today.
He said he didn't want to play today?
Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Kyle, has that ever happened to you where a player said they didn't want to play in a game?
No.
He got demoted for this game, right? I mean, he was not going to play?
No, he was going to go in when Dre came out.
Kyle, has that ever happened to you where a player said they didn't want to play in a game?
No.
He got demoted for this game, right? I mean, he was not going to play?
No, he was going to go in when Dre came out.
Were you released, Devondre Campbell?
We'll figure out something, but I don't know that right now.
Did he give you any reason why you didn't want to play today?
No.
Campbell, I mean, to hear a player say, I don't want to play today, does that create dissension, especially knowing that at this point in the season, with the type of season that this has started out to be, you kind of need as much camaraderie as possible to be successful. Does that create dissension amongst the team, or did it not really affect anyone? Did no one really notice?
People notice, but when someone says that, you move on. You don't deal with that anymore.
So that's Kyle Shanahan post-game essentially saying that Devondre Campbell told the team openly that he did not want to play today. Kyle Shanahan asked, has that ever happened to you before? And he flatly said no. And he's talking about if other teammates noticed, picked up on it. I can tell you someone who did pick up on it. Mooney Ward, who was asked post-game in the locker room about it. We already heard Mooney Ward say that he's probably going to get cut soon. What we did not hear from Mooney Ward was before that, he said, quote, that's some sucker stuff to me. Probably going to get cut soon.
And that's why, to me, this doesn't fall in the realm of Kyle Shanahan's losing the locker room. I think Kyle Shanahan and the entire locker room are very much in the camp of, that dude sucks. Yeah. That what that guy did is a bad thing. And the worst part about this is we're spending time talking about Devondre Campbell, who was never in this team's long-term plans.
Yep.
He was Dre Greenlaw's replacement until Dre Greenlaw came back. We were hopeful it would be about this time and the 49ers would be making a playoff push. They're not. But it's taking the focus off what the real problem was tonight. Their defense was awesome. Devondre Campbell or not. That's two games in a row. Their defense has been outstanding. Salute to Nick Sorensen. He was under fire, and they've come back, and they've played really good football here the last couple of games. The offense has been and continues to be the problem this season, and I don't want Devondre Campbell to overshadow that.
Yeah, no, very well said. We will have plenty more to say on that, Sterling. I know you're chomping at the bit to get some stuff out there on Devondre Campbell and Mooney Ward and everyone reacting to this, and we got so much more time to get to all of you on the phone lines as well. Fozzie, I see you. Roshan, Don, and Caleb, we're coming to you when we come back. Debo Samuel, a bad day. Brock Purdy, a bad day. Devondre Campbell quits on this team. The Niners lose, and their postseason hopes are essentially all but done as they lose at home to the Rams 12-6. As overtime continues, Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett, more coming up next on 95.7 The Game.